here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome to a special edition of Zach's Friday Finish Line. We're your hosts, Maddie Johnson, editor here at Zach's, along with one of our content writers, Ryan McQueenie. And today we are joined by Bill Studebaker, the president and CIO of Robo Global.
Robo Global is the creator of the first benchmark index to track the global robotics and automation market, the Robo Global Robotics and Automation Index. The Robo Global Robotics and Automation Index ETF, which trades under the ticker ROBO, tracks the index that Robo Global created. Robo provides investors with a liquid, cost-effective, and diversified way to gain access to rapidly evolving robotics technology and AI.
Together, we discussed how robotics is a foundational technology and a sector that both encompasses many different characteristics and has influenced the world around it. We also touched on the numerous opportunities available to investors. Check it out. So while the robots we have come to visualize in movies are likely still decades away, so no Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger versions quite yet, the robotics industry has certainly permeated our everyday life. So from Roombas to that poor security robot named Steve that recently drowned itself in Washington, D.C., and that certainly set the internet ablaze. But because of this, we may not know exactly what quote-unquote robotics means. So, William, what are the key characteristics of robotics technology?
Well, robotics, what's interesting for people to think about is that it's not a small niche. It's actually really a foundational technology that's being applied to all industries, all markets, and it's happening now. And there really is an undeniable inflection point in the cost curve and the performance capabilities of robotics, which is allowing this robotics revolution to occur. And robotics have clearly gone out of science fiction and the lab are now, you know, permeating all parts of our lives. Bill Gates, only a few years ago, publicly stated that he expected robotics to be as ubiquitous as computers and dramatically more transformational than the internet. And more recently, a few weeks ago, Jeff Bezos said that with regards to artificial intelligence, that we're clearly entering a renaissance period. And the rise of artificial intelligence is really, you know, the great story of our time, and it's infusing itself into many aspects of our lives, our phones, our cars, the way we bank, and, you know, what music we listen to. And machines right now are getting smarter every day. They're doing more and more, and they're soon going to change our lives and our work in ways that are easy to imagine but really are hard to predict.
Kind of rolling off of that, you mentioned in that answer that robotics is having an effect on all industries and all markets. Trying to get a little bit more specific, what industries or what kind of core industries has robotics influenced in the past and kind of in the current day as well? And has this influence primarily been a positive one or a negative one?
Well, it's a very good question and going to be kind of a long answer. We really are now moving into a new economic era, and one that is and will change the nature of work and really the basis for competition in every industry. And from a historical perspective, robotics has been around since the 1960s or late 60s and 70s with industrial automation of the auto industry, which migrated then into consumer electronics. These industries now are roughly 40% penetrated, while virtually every other sector of the economy is in the very, very beginnings. And robotics really is the tool that we desperately need to reboot global productivity and drive new sources of growth. And, you know, what does it bring? I mean, robotics brings speed, convenience, flexibility, and even safety. And take autonomous driving, which everyone seems to be spending a lot of time getting up to speed on. You know, that was a Jetsons vision only a few years ago. It's really becoming closer to a reality. Why? I mean, why does that start to happen? Well, for one, is that computers are safer than humans. I mean, worldwide, in terms of driving, statistically proven, worldwide, we lose 1.2 million lives annually in accidents, with more than 94% of those a result of human error. So in the U.S. alone, those wrecks cost our society $1 trillion. So driverless cars, you know, promise to save countless lives. When you look at medical diagnosis, or in this case, actually misdiagnosis, it really could plummet. Right now, 5 to 10% of trips to the ER result in misdiagnosis. And more than to, I think it's 12 million diagnostic mistakes contribute to 400,000 deaths that are caused by preventable errors, and that's in the U.S. alone. So robotics in healthcare beyond this is also showing a lot of success in surgical procedures, right, where you're showing much better, you know, patient outcomes and lower costs. And, you know, lastly, it's just say, you know, who doesn't shop on Amazon, right? Then the ability to get fulfillment on your orders inside of days, if not soon to be hours, is really the result of robots and automation. So what's important to recognize is this is starting to happen across all parts of the economy. It's going to happen at varying levels of speed and penetration, but there's virtually no industry that's not going to become more automated.
So a lot has been said about the rise of the machines, and I know I talked about this topic a lot when I was in school, more from an academic perspective, if you will. But now, being in the real world, we specifically look at this theme, and we look at it from the potential loss of jobs to robots. So you have Momentum Machines as robot that can make and flip burgers in 10 seconds, or you have Universal Robots as machine that can solder, paint, screw, glue, and grasp things, as well as build new parts for itself on the fly when they wear out a break. And certainly this theme of just losing jobs, job loss, has been talked about and discussed for years now. So it is kind of scary to think about that one day robots will rise up and take over humans and humans' tasks. So do you have any thoughts on this? I know it's kind of crazy to think about now, but one day it could happen. I don't know. I'm kind of, it's weird. It's still weird to think about.
Well, it's a fun question to answer. Let me see if I can do that. I mean, I think the first point I'd like to make is I'm not a futurist, but an investor. And in my opinion, we think RAI, which we define as robotics, automation, and artificial intelligence, is the best opportunity of our lifetime. And it's going to be bigger and provide more opportunity, more convenience, and wealth than most people can appreciate now. Having said this, there are going to be some disruptions along the way. And many of us don't know, as you suggest, whether this fourth industrial revolution is very good or bad, and the uncertainty is clearly creating some sense of anxiety. And some only see the dark side of the shift, and indeed, you know, many of today's headlines forecast a pretty grim jobless recovery. I think that the truth is somewhere in between there. There are some estimates by the Oxford study had, but I think within the next 20 years, that 47% of jobs will be lost. There's other predictions that are as low as, you know, 5 to maybe 12%. I would imagine the truth lies somewhere in between there. Having said that, also, I think what we're going to see is that the coming digital boom really can be very promising for those who are prepared for it. And there are many jobs, you know, in like structured environments that are going to get automated away. But however, for a vast majority of also professions, new machines are going to enhance and protect employment. And I don't think, for example, that a single teacher or nurse is going to lose their job because of AI. Instead, you know, these professions are going to become more productive, more effective, and more enjoyable. And workers in such professions are going to come to view the new machine, if you want to call it that, as a trusted colleague. And so just as one now wouldn't think about driving from point A to point B without a sort of artificial intelligence-based GPS device, or doing research without, you know, doing a Google search, you know, most workers in the coming years will not consider approaching their daily tasks without a robot by their side. So I think that we're going to see robotics infused into many parts of our jobs, but they'll be working alongside of us.
I love that you mentioned not a futurist, but an investor. And on that topic, I kind of want to focus in on some of the money-making opportunities here in the robotics industry. Gonna just kind of fire off a few questions at once, but is right now the kind of turning point for the market? If so, how long do you view that window of opportunity being open for? And then kind of as an individual investor, where should we be looking as far as companies, stocks, indexes, funds that we can look towards to cash in?
Well, thanks for the question. A very loaded question as well. Without question, I think that we are at an undeniable inflection point in the industry, really, as I said before, because of the cost curve and performance capabilities. And we're just now beginning to recognize that there are a lot of other ways to capitalize on this growth of the industry. And so we recognized this opportunity 4 years ago, which is why we created the first ever index that tracks robotics and automation companies. And so fast forward 4 years, we had conviction then. We have even more conviction now that this is taking place and is going to be bigger than we really anticipated before. And so we believe that we're in the early stages, which is why, as an investor, we think the best approach is the index approach, because no one at this point really knows what the obvious winners or losers are. It's interesting to look at Amazon now, which is something that everyone knows about. 5 or 10 years ago, it was a less known opportunity. And certainly these things all change, but the rate of technological adoption is truly exponential right now. And so what we've taken the approach is to spread our bets out across the entire value chain of robotics, automation, artificial intelligence. So we do this by investing across a spectrum of technologies and applications that enable this. So the technologies in particular, there's a lot that goes in there. There's actually companies that are involved in computing, processing, sensing, actuation, and integration. And then there's a lot of applications or really use cases. So where is robotics being deployed? It's being deployed into manufacturing. It's being deployed into logistics automation. It's being used in healthcare, into ag, into consumer, et cetera. So there's a lot of places where this is manifesting itself. So if you're looking for some names, I mean, I could talk about some of the names that are in our index, and I'd like to maybe focus on some that are a little less obvious, because I think a lot of people may recognize companies, for example, like NVIDIA, which has done fantastically well. It was up around 225% last year. It's up, I'm not sure, this year, maybe 30 or 40%. Only 18, 24 months ago, this was viewed as sort of a gaming graphics processing unit technology company. It's now morphed and become more of a pure play AI company. And as such, the stock has gone from having a $15 billion market cap to a $90 billion market cap in just in the span of a couple of years. So again, I point this out just showing how fast the technology and the evolution actually happens. But looking at names, like, for example, in our index, we have names like Cognex and Keyence that are both machine vision sensing companies. Cognex is a U.S.-based company. Keyence is a Japanese. Machine vision really is one of the most promising areas for investors, and vision dramatically expands the range of applications of robotics and automation. So robots that can see can perform much more complex tasks like precision welding and surgeries and precision assembly. It's also now in the early stages of adoption, really in a wide variety of manufacturing industries to perform quality inspection and to make everything virtually flawless. So these are two interesting companies. There's another Japanese company called Daifuku that's a major beneficiary of the boom in logistics and warehouse automation. It's number one globally in logistics systems and materials handling equipment. So that's the picking solutions, and they do autonomous guided vehicles for warehouse automation. Another name is Brooks Automation. It's a U.S. company. They're the world's leader in semi-fab automation. These products are really found in pretty much every semi-fab plant in the world. They're number one in vacuum automation and also in contamination control equipment. They provide automation solutions for life sciences, for things like automated cold storage, sample management systems for compounds and biological storage, sampling, and handling. And so those are some lesser obvious names, but all participating actively in this new industry.
I'm not sure if I read this wrong, but does Robo Global also hold AeroVironment in the fund as well?
We do. Yes, we do. Yep.
So they're drones pure play, correct?
That's correct.
So how do drones and robotics, I mean, like, what's the relationship there?
Between drones and robotics?
Yeah, so like drones is like a huge burgeoning industry as well. So I guess I'm interested in learning your opinion on how like that fits into a robotics future.
Yeah, kind of more specifically, in my mind, I'm kind of thinking, does the fund, I guess, consider drones to be just kind of like a subcategory of robotics overall, or categories distinct at all?
It's definitely a subcategory of robotics. When you think about it, you know, what is a drone? It's an unmanned system.
Flying robot.
Where are drones being used? They're being used for entertainment purposes. They're being used now for security and surveillance. It's being used in inspection in agriculture. So instead of a person walking on a farm and having to survey the plants and geography, you can fly a drone up there to take real-time photos and imagery of it. Drones are now being used, obviously, in infrastructure inspection, where they have cameras where they can see, for example, flying up a utility pole and recognizing that there's a problem. It can take a picture of it right from there, send a work order automatically back to a company that would then send out the part to get fixed. This is all about improving efficiency and productivity.
Yeah, I can't wait until I can order on Amazon and have them deliver my package.
I'm more interested in the Domino's drones and the potential
with
for
the pizza drones,
food delivery drones.
That would be awesome.
I guess opportunity all over the place there.
Yeah. So focusing a little bit more on artificial intelligence, which you have covered greatly here,
yeah,
Bill. So Bank of America estimates the market will grow to about $70 billion by 2020. And like robotics, AI has grown to be a part of our everyday. So applications like Siri and Amazon's Alexa are used by millions of consumers. I don't use them, but...
You might be in the minority there, though.
I might be in the minority, but my mother is a huge fan of Alexa, as well as things like the Nest Smart Thermostat and even Netflix, thanks to its predictive algorithmic technology. So, Bill, how can investors cash in on AI? So are there any pure play options, I guess, besides NVIDIA on this burgeoning tech trend?
Yeah, so obviously it's a pretty exciting area that's come under the microscope of investors now. And we actually think that for the average investor that the Robo Index actually provides a pretty interesting balanced exposure here. We have exposure to companies that, you know, enable AI to occur, as you talk about. And these technologies are machine vision, computer vision, voice recognition, image recognition, natural language processing. So we talked about NVIDIA, that is probably the most familiar name, but there's also a lot of other companies that help enable this. And one company in particular that is in our index that we think has an ambitious future is Ambarella. And they do video compression and then most associated with the technology that goes behind the GoPro. So a system that can see and sense its surroundings can obviously navigate. So you need this. And they now are morphing outside of just doing the video compression in sort of consumer applications, but moving into auto. And they had actually bought a technology about 2 years ago that they're beginning to commercialize that focuses on autonomous driving. And so they bought a company called Visilabs, which is an Italian company, back 2 years ago. They paid only $30 million for it. That is in the process of redefining this company to becoming more of a computer vision technology for the drone industry and also for auto. And they're going to come at a price point that's dramatically different than where NVIDIA comes in, and also where Intel and Mobileye. So that's sort of an interesting company. It's about a $1.7 billion market cap. It trades around 20 times earnings with about $15 per share in cash on the balance sheet and no debt. The semiconductor industry is starving for growth. There's roughly 80 companies globally. If Ambarella is successful in a few years, I would think that's a very likely takeout candidate. There's also the companies that have been around for a while that investors haven't spent too much time focusing on, like Nuance, that does, you know, voice recognition. So when you're calling into your credit card company or you're calling to make reservations on the airlines, that's the technology that enables that to happen. So kind of two names that are a little less known, but clearly are important companies to be paying attention to.
As we start to wrap things up here, I'm kind of interested in something we haven't touched on much yet, which is the risk involved in these markets. And I'm not talking about the risk that artificial general intelligence might pose to humanity. I'm going to let Elon Musk worry about that because he seems to be pretty concerned. But I'm talking about investment risk. Seems like in the tone we've taken so far today is that there's plenty of opportunity for growth. But we as investors know that where there's opportunity for growth, there's obviously has to be some risk somewhere. So how do you view the inherent risk associated with these technologies from an investor's perspective? And what kind of market conditions could create more volatility?
Yeah, well, it's a good question. I think investors, you know, should always be cautious in technology because there's an inherent risk and disruption can happen very quickly. Technologies are evolving quickly. And, you know, it's hard to have a crystal ball on things, but I would say, again, industries are changing overnight. If you look at just the app business, right, the first iPhone was only launched 10 years ago. Within 10 years, the app industry has morphed from zero to a $100 billion industry. Look at how companies like Uber and Airbnb weren't exactly household names, you know, 3 to 5 years ago, and now are. Look how they've disrupted, you know, markets. So there's a lot of disruption going on. Inherently, there's a lot of disruption that can go on with companies. And so, again, we think what's interesting about what we've offered is an index that invests in an entire value chain of companies. So we're trying to take the risk out for investors where we invest across not only technologies but applications, but we also invest globally. Our index, interestingly, is 40% U.S. and it's 60% internationally, and that's not by design. It just happens to be where the technologies exist. We invest across 15 different, you know, geographies. So I think generally investors need to be diversified, and whether they choose to invest in the Robo Global Index or not, I think they always need to be cautious and be diversified. In terms of the sectors, they're all going to evolve at varying rates of speed and penetration, and it's really hard to kind of predict what takes off and when and what's going to happen faster. So I think, you know, some risk for investors is being too heavily exposed or invested in one sector that just doesn't play out over the time horizon that they're talking about. And so I think investors just need to be cautious on that. If you're looking to make aggressive bets on autonomous driving, I think while I do believe that it will happen, it's kind of hard to predict the exact timing of that and when a lot of companies are going to be generating significant revenues and profits from that. And so I only point that out because, you know, that is a risk in terms of timing. It may not be a risk in terms of, you know, companies themselves right now, because there are virtually very few dedicated autonomous driving companies themselves. But one thing I'd like to point out about, you know, a lot of the robotics, I mean, people are fearful of the market sell-off. They're fearful of valuation. Interestingly, the Robo Index trades around 26 to 27 times earnings, about 11 and a half times EBITDA. And while that is a modest premium to the market, this industry has dramatically higher growth rates than the market. We have an estimate, or it's not our estimate, they're actually sell-side estimates from now to the end of 2019 that have an expectation for 50% plus earnings growth. And so the risk for investors really is trying to time this and, you know, when to get in and when to get out. We think this is a buy and hold strategy in robotics and automation, and that we really are in the early innings, and that investors should sort of align their portfolio for the future here and at least get some exposure to the industry, and, you know, recognizing that there's always going to be some volatility along the way where there's opportunities to buy more.
It really amazes me how, I guess it really shouldn't be that surprising, how closely tied together robotics, AI, automation, drones, big data, all of these small sectors are tied together.
Yeah. We didn't even talk about big data. That's a whole different thing in there entirely.
But I feel like it was implied.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was great.
I mean, big data is what's enabling this to happen. That's obviously, big data is the secret sauce for what makes AI work, because the more data you have, the more decisions you make. When you think about a doctor that has to go do a some sort of oncology exam, a doctor may have 90% accuracy in determining if it's a cancer cell. A computer can go in a span of seconds, scan through hundreds of millions of images of a cancer cell and be able to tell that's a cancer cell. And so, again, you can only do this by serving up a computer hundreds of millions of images and having it be able to recognize that.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today, William. You had really incredibly insightful answers to this robotics industry.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.